Welcome to Josh Bytes, a supplement to the untitled Joshcast. Josh Bytes delivers the same content as the main podcast, still hosted by me, Josh Gershman, and my co-host and co-Josh, Josh Hammond, just in smaller 10 to 15 to 20 minute episodes. You'll hear individual stories, updates to past episodes, or just smaller segments that wouldn't quite make for a full episode of the podcast. Enjoy. So last week, we had a really great discussion about The Last of Us Part 2 and about violence in video games more generally. And I've been struggling to think about what makes a game like The Last of Us different from other games. And I came to the conclusion that I am just a big hypocrite. And here's why. So the thing that makes The Last of Us different than other games that are violent is The Last of Us is slow. And the action, you have to sit there with it. There is a term that's actually that epitomizes this whole debate, and it's called ludonarrative dissonance. And so that's when the story that you're experiencing in a game is telling you a different story than what the action of the game is telling you. And it's ironic that it's Uncharted, the first Uncharted game made by Naughty Dog, the very same studio that helped to kind of usher in this phrase ludonarrative dissonance into popularity. So in that game, you play as Nathan Drake. He's a fortune hunter, casual, handsome pirate, and you're, on the search for lost treasure. There is a great article on Polygon right now. Speaking of Polygon, we were talking about their review of The Last of Us 2. I failed to mention the writer of that review, which is Maddie Myers, formerly of Kotaku. It's a really great review. Definitely go and check that out. Today's article that I was reading, also on Polygon, is by Chris Plant. The title of the article is "The Last of Us 2 Epitomizes One of Gaming's Longest Debates." And so I actually want to read just a couple paragraphs because, like, I think it perfectly sums up Uncharted and it's how it is both the same and different from The Last of Us. Here we go. Uncharted Drake's Fortune, created by Naughty Dog, the same studio that went on to develop The Last of Us Part II, became one of the poster children of this bizarre moment, in which games aspired for bigger things while still bearing violent albatrosses of the genre. Its protagonist, Nathan Drake, is a lovable, goofy treasure hunter. Except the very first moment we meet him, he reveals his other talent, cold-blooded killing. Drake and his companion, journalist Elena Fisher, uncover a treasure in the middle of the ocean, only to be immediately surrounded by a fleet of pirate boats. Elena suggests that they contact the authorities. Drake explains they're searching for treasure illegally, so he pulls out his old friend, a big-ass handgun. He hands a bonus gun to Elena, who has never handled a gun, but coincidentally is a great shot. So this is the very first scene in this game, and it is the perfect example of this dissonance, where the narrative of the game, the cutscenes, everything that happens in a cutscene is this goofy, lovable adventure of Nathan Drake and Elena and Sully and all these great characters searching for treasure. But when the control is turned over to you, you are a killing machine and you are mowing people down left and right. But the difference between a game like Uncharted and a game like The Last of Us, and like a lot of other games, which I'm going to talk about in a second, is The Last of Us is slow. And in those cutscenes, there's also a lot of violence that happens that you don't control. You are on the sticks in controller lingo for perpetrating a lot of this violence in games like The Last of Us. But in cutscenes, there's also a lot of violence. And so that narrative dissonance is lessened because you're doing the same kinds of things in each place. And so here's where me being a big hypocrite comes in. I was thinking earlier this week, or last week rather, about two of my most anticipated games for the rest of 2020. The first one is called Ghost of Tsushima, which comes out actually in a few weeks in July, where you play as a samurai and like your island and home is being overrun by Mongols. And in this game, you're just going to mow down Mongols left and right, like with a giant sword, and you're going to be cutting people's heads off. And it's going to be a very violent endeavor from start to finish. The next game is something we've talked about a little bit on the podcast, Cyberpunk 2077. This is something that I have been excited about for literal years, and that's not an exaggeration, since they first started teasing material out about this game. And earlier in the week, there was another deep dive. The game is coming out. It's supposed to come out in April, then it got bumped to September, and now it's coming out in November of 2020. I hope it meets that date, because I just want to play this damn game. But earlier there was a latest deep dive into the game, into the story, into, you know, the combat and things like that. This is a game which is an incredibly hyper, super crazy violent world where things are moving very fast. Last of Us slow, Cyberpunk, very super fast. You're like blowing people's limbs off. There's all kinds of crazy violence that's happening. And it paints a very different picture. But when I look at the trailers and I think about the story of a game like Cyberpunk, I am so enthralled by the world and being in this like techno future world that I kind of don't care about the violence. Like, it's going to happen because that's part of the game. But like, I just want that world and I'm going to play it regardless. And in The Last of Us, my like where I was struggling last week when we were talking about it was the violence that the game forces you to commit was so like in your face. And I think the game does that on purpose too, by the way. It's not an accident. But so this is like, this is the mental gymnastics that I've had to make of myself here. And I'm really interested in, it's been a week since we have talked about it. I'm interested in like what you've come across or like what your thoughts have been since then about the game and about kind of this whole topic in general.
I mean, if we're being perfectly honest, I haven't really thought about it, but I had never heard the term that you are speaking of. So I just Googled it. And just while you were speaking, reading some of the articles about it, it is really interesting. There is a lot of information here about a video game series that I love, that apparently this is a phrase that is coined because of this series, and that's BioShock.
Yes.
And basically this term was coined by Clint Hawking, who talks about how essentially you're playing through this game and you're being presented with one reality, and then you're being forced to make decisions based on that one reality, and then they switch the reality on you. So you know, you're kind of disconnected from the choices that you're making. And it is an interesting concept. It is something that I do plan on reading more of. I probably would have thought a lot more about it. I didn't have a lot of time this week, so I didn't think a lot about The Last of Us. I have been playing a lot of Fortnite, so I just kind of ignored that it existed. But I can think of games where, while this may not be a term that was necessarily associated with them, but games that have made me feel this way. Max Payne was one of those games where it makes you so physically uncomfortable to do the things that you're doing, but you do them anyway. You're literally drinking and popping pain pills, and there's so much murder within the game. So I can see the hypocrisy of what we're discussing, but this is a term that I'm going to read about a lot. I can see this being associated with Mass Effect. I can see this being associated with many of the games that I've really grown to love. Grand Theft Auto, Deep Space. Like, there's a lot of good examples.
One of the things I was thinking of is about games that give you the option whether to take out enemies lethally or non-lethally. And I was thinking about two games in particular. One, Metal Gear Solid 5. I talked a lot about Metal Gear when we did the part two, I think it was part two, of our video games episode. And Metal Gear Solid 5 is a great game. And like all of the Metal Gear games, you always have the option whether to take out an enemy lethally or non-lethally, like just knock them out, knock them unconscious. In 5, one of the big game mechanics is that you want to recruit people and get them back to your base. So the way that you do that is you have to knock them out non-lethally, and then you tie them to a hot air balloon and they get lifted away. Don't think too hard about how that works or your brain will break, but that is there is so much emphasis in that game on not killing people, because if you kill them, you can't recruit them. And you have a near infinite amount of people. I don't think it's infinite. You have a pretty high amount of people you can take back to your base and do. And like the more people you take back, the higher level rating your base gets. So you're really encouraged to do all this. And the way in which you do that is by not killing bad guys. There's also like this game is a stealth action game. And so part of being stealthy is not killing people and not leaving a trace and not having loud gunshots. So that's a very big part of the game. The other one was Watch Dogs 2. The Watch Dogs series, when it first came out in, I want to say 2013 or 2014, was about this like hacker guy in Chicago. And it's really like a dirty, dark story. Watch Dogs 2 came out in 2017, 16, something like that. It takes place in the Bay Area in San Francisco. And it's very like sunny and bright. You're still part of this hacker collective. And then you're doing all kinds of stuff around the city. And you have the choice in this game also whether to use lethal or non-lethal weapons. And in this game, there was only one part in the entire game where I ever used like a lethal weapon, because it was just like one section that I couldn't get past unless I did it this one way. But for the entire rest of the game, however many dozens of hours I put in, I never used an actual weapon. Because the game gave you a choice and I chose not to kill people. And I heard a lot of interesting chatter about this when it came out that the protagonist that you play, I can't remember his name. I feel like it's Marcus. I'm probably wrong, but like, he's like similar to Drake. He's like a lovable goofball hacker and you don't want him to kill people. And so I heard a lot of chatter about this game that like mentally people would say, like when they were using real quote unquote real guns in this game, you're like, oh, in my mind, they're all rubber bullets. Even though the game gives you a very specific distinction between what the game tells you is lethal and non-lethal. And then other people were playing this game using lethal weapons, but were justifying it to themselves as like, oh no, they're not real, which I think is really fascinating. Not something I could do. Like, again, given the choice, I'm going to choose the non-lethal route. But it was just like things like that that made me think of how we approach violence in video games and like what our reaction is to that.
It is really interesting. Again, it's a completely new term to me and I'm looking forward to diving into it. Just in a little bit of research, I found this really cool, what looks to be a thesis paper by a PhD candidate from the University of Tokyo. His name is Frederick Serafin, I think that's right. And his paper is called Ludonarrative Dissonance is Storytelling About Reaching Harmony. And it really does look like something that is going to be an interesting read. I'm going to dive into it. Something new you've taught me today that I'm going to spend my week researching and we'll probably revisit.
Yeah, I mean, this will by no means be the last time we talk about video games on this podcast. But I wanted to, like, in the wake of our discussion last week, it has been on my mind a lot more. And then again, seeing the new footage of other super violent games, which I am absolutely going to play and not even think about, I wanted to just have this discussion. And Josh Bytes is a great forum for that, where we can do that. So I'm sure we'll be doing this a lot more.
I'm sure we will.
If you have enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a nice rating or review on Apple Podcasts and or follow on Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, or wherever you happen to listen. Those things would really help us out. Don't forget to give us a follow on Instagram and Twitter, both of which are at JoshCastPod, for all the updates you can ask for about the show. And once again, if you would like to support this podcast financially, you can do so at patreon.com/untitledJoshCast. This show is written and hosted by me, Josh Gershman, and Josh Hammond. It is edited by me, and it is produced by Rylan James. The podcast's intro music is Gemini by Alki, and the podcast's outro music is Cautious by Amorosa. Both appear on the Untitled Joshcast with permission from the artists. We hope you have enjoyed this episode of the Untitled Joshcast. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time. I got to be cautious.